Doc Waterman. Doc, are you there?
No.
Okay, good. Good. Because we got a full house. That's good. Okay. No, I'm kidding. We have Doc Waterman with us tonight. You can check out his website at thewatermanfiles.com. He's there with bells on.
Bells and whistles.
Let's hope you don't have peanut butter head anymore. We're not even going to explain
that's
that.
That's a long story. We'll talk about that later.
It just means fuzzy-headed, basically. Okay.
Anytime you look at Pelosi, you get that.
I get that with a look at any of them, Doc. Any of them. Evil slime. Okay. We're going to have a little bit of a full house tonight to begin with because we want to do some updates, and I want you to get the information right to as close to the horse's mouth as we can actually get. Mm-hmm. You guys all know, and we've talked about Tom Deegan being arrested in West Virginia. You guys have heard it since, I think, April about the filings they've been filing in West Virginia. I believe we had Phil Hudock on with us the very first time Tom was on to discuss the filings in West Virginia. We have Phil Hudock with us again tonight. We also have Gene Stelnecker with us, and we're going to get some updates and what's going on in West Virginia. So, Doc Waterman, meet Gene Stelnecker and Phil Hudock.
Phil Gene or Hudock Stelmark? How does that go?
Okay, Phil Hudock, and then Gene Stelnecker.
Hey,
just say Gene and Phil.
Hey, if you come in, I could always go, you know that guy that had the bad shoulder or, you know, that kind of, that's how I kind of label people. You know, after years of doing that, you kind of, that's how you do it.
Doc?
I know.
It's called peanut butter head.
It's been bad.
Okay.
It's been bad.
I know.
Hey, this is a sober topic. It really is.
It is very
sober topic here. It has ramifications for people that have absolutely no clue about what's coming.
I definitely want to get into that, Doc, but let's first explain to the listeners and get it right from Gene and Phil what's going on with Tom right now.
Okay, this is Phil.
Hi, Phil.
Hi, Aaron. Thanks for having me on. You know, this is a very serious situation.
Yes.
I'm worried.
Well, you know, we should be worried for numerous reasons. We've lost our government. We don't have a constitution anymore since 1933. But let's just get to the matter at hand. Thomas was arrested, and on early Friday morning, a writ of habeas corpus was presented to the head official at the jail, the North Central Regional Jail, where Thomas is. That's his new government address. Now, if you go to my website and click on where it says some answers to Hoffman's questions, and go to the end, you'll see the address for Thomas.
Phil, I'm having trouble understanding you a little bit. I think it may be your phone, but maybe talk just a little bit louder.
Okay. Is this a little better?
That's much better. Thank you. Okay, now on your website, which is hudock.info, it's hudok.info, go to where, Phil?
On the homepage, it says some answers to Hoppy Kirchhoff's questions. I did a half-hour interview on about, well over a dozen stations yesterday in West Virginia. It's the most listened-to talk show host, and I told the story as best I could in half an hour. And on my website, I have some answers to Hoppy Kirchhoff's questions because, you know, you don't have time to really get into the meat. All they want is sound bites. So, but if you hit enter, you'll see a lot of information. And at the very end is Thomas's address at the North Central Regional Jail. And people need to write him. You know, years ago when I was fired from my teaching job after 25 years for not enforcing barcoded IDs because I said we were going into a police state. I talked to an attorney in Virginia who couldn't take my case, but he said, he gave me this advice, which I took. He said, you can win your case constitutionally, or you can win your case in the people's court. And I thought, well, I'm going to do both. And I won the case. The Rutherford Institute took it, and there was a mass of communications to the board, to the principal, to the newspapers, they didn't realize the firestorm that it was going to create. And we can't win this battle without winning both on constitutional grounds, but it's also going to take the court of public opinion. People are going to have to demand that the government do what is right. The government has failed. They failed miserably. It's actually embarrassing what they file. It isn't even up to a rookie attorney standards. Okay, but the most important thing is we filed a writ of mandamus at the jail, which gave them 72 hours, and they failed to act on that writ. Habeas corpus, writ of habeas corpus, at the regional jail. Now, tomorrow, a writ of habeas corpus will be filed in the federal district court in Parkersburg. It's going to be a federal complaint, and a copy of this complaint is going to go to the federal marshal also, the magistrate that was involved in this action, and the state police who were involved in this action. So things are happening, you know. I did a 40-minute interview at the Elkins Intermountain newspaper. I believe we're going to get a good in-depth article about what's happened here, that we don't have the rule of law, that we are considered enemies of our own government and have been since 1933. You know, in the last election, when Obama was running, many counties in West Virginia, he was on the Democratic primary. Obama lost to a convicted felon in Texas who was on the ballot. Okay, that's how mad West Virginia people are. Now, one of the reasons they're mad is because through policy, not law, the president is out to kill coal. Now, West Virginians are mad.
Mm-hmm.
They need to speak up. People need, it's their government, good or bad, it's their government. So, you know, I'm excited about what's going on. I think this is going to backfire. What they did was they made people look. And what the people now are seeing, I hope they understand. So I'll yield to Gene.
Hi, Gene.
Well, I don't have much to say because since this latest episode of Tom being apprehended, I've been without a telephone. I thought maybe it was spooks, but it turned out they came and checked. I had a problem before, and it was a bird's nest in a splice case.
Well, that's good, Gene.
So,
I know we all do tend to get a little paranoid.
The bad part is I've been without any information because I don't have a computer and I'm too old for all that stuff. So I've been just relying on what little bit I can get from Phil. So there's nothing I can add to Tom. You know, as far as his situation, because I'm not aware of how far they've proceeded other than the habeas corpus.
Now, do you guys actually think the writ of habeas corpus will actually accomplish anything?
That's what I was going to ask. Good question.
Thank you.
How well are they led? You know, these things that we used to have as we would redress these grievances. Are they letting us do this stuff, like habeas corpus?
Well, you've got to give them the opportunity and let them show play their cards, you know, if they're going to be criminal.
I gotcha. Yeah, got to do it whether that works or not, right?
Right, and Thomas is legally expatriated, okay? So therefore, he was falsely arrested in a foreign land. And
would that put him in a one of these new NDAA things or like that? Would that put him in that kind of very compromised Gitmo type possibility?
That's what I thought.
We'll see.
This is interesting, because what you're really saying is there are two jurisdictions that are cohabitating on the same piece of dirt at the same time. One is calling the other one a bad guy.
True.
And the thing that protected us from the government isn't being recognized by him. Of course, an enemy is going to say, you can't tell me what to do. Oh, yes, the Constitution can.
That's right. Now, have they even formally charged him with anything yet?
I haven't seen the whatever papers, you know, the magistrate issue. I don't know. I do know that Leonard and Alicia came in from California, and they are helping with this situation, and they have been, you know, they got the case number and all that information. I've been busy doing interviews and traveling and trying to post what's happened on the website and give people information. I won't quit. I'm running for governor. I will be on the ballot. And, you know, this will be one way for people to express their feelings that I will be on the ballot and that I will be bringing this situation up. And, of course, if Thomas is in prison and I'm going to win, and I am in it to win, okay, he'll get a pardon.
Awesome.
There you go.
And the second thing is we will dissolve all these private for-profit corporations. You know, right now, the Supreme Court justices, the governor, and the attorney general should resign because they are in default and dishonor. If they were honorable, they would actually resign.
Now, I know from state to state, it's kind of, you know, there's little differences. But this really could work for most of them, couldn't it, or all?
Well, hold that right there. Don't answer. We'll get lost in the translation here. So we'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back. We have with us, of course, Doc, and we have Phil Hudock and Gene Stelnecker. We're discussing Thomas's plight. And, you know, during the break, I was chatting with Doc, and I said, you know, there's people like Gene and Phil and Tom. And, of course, Doc knows a lot about the legal system, too. So I kind of learn from everybody, and I research it, and I study it, and I still don't get it most of the time. And Doc came back and said, you know, the thing is, we shouldn't have to study and study and study it. It should be pretty simple common law. But that's the plight we're in right now. So anyway, what were you guys saying before the break?
Just basically understanding that we, you know, treat others like we want to treat, want to be treated, as long as we're, you know, not crazy. Cutting ourselves or something, and that will get you through the law that we had formed in the Constitution. It will.
Yes.
I mean, it'll help you because you know if we go to another country that runs similarly, we don't have to study the laws. We just know not to punch somebody in the nose. You know, we don't step on their toes, and everything's fine. But when you get into this kind of stuff.
Codes, infractions, rules, regulations. Ugh.
Just your opinion and just your thought can get you in trouble. This is not the country the founders wanted.
Well, yeah. Doesn't Thomas have a right to say what he wants?
Yes, he does. And I want to answer Doc's question. He said, "Can't this be done in other states?" And there are. Four states, Alabama, Arizona, Florida, and Texas, that have filed similar action. And I believe Tennessee, I haven't had time to even check it, but from the subject line, it looked like someone in Tennessee had sent me papers from there. But, you know, when the government judges your thoughts and intentions, then they're acting like God. That's only God knows your heart and your mind. But government has assumed the position of God, and that's why they justify what they're doing.
It's Minority Report.
Yeah.
you know, yeah. thought crime, pre-crime, all that good stuff. We knew it was coming to this.
Here's what, here you can see the trend. Back in the 90s, demonizing the militia. It went okay for a while, but then the militia re-educated the public. And they said, hey, if you read your Constitution, and they were in lots of states, it said the Constitution said the militia has a right to exist. So what's your beef here? You know, at least it got, whether their government understood that and knew exactly what they were doing wasn't important. It was important that the people knew they had a right to exist. And so now they've created, yeah, now they've created a boogeyman that isn't outlined explicitly. And so now they take what, let's put it this way. How many of these crimes that are real crimes going on out there that used to just be criminals and they were breaking criminal law are now being called terrorists? It's ridiculous.
Exactly. And they want, what the government, what the government's trying to do here is use the fear factor. They want everyone to be fearful, and that was the intent of the arrest and the $300,000 bail bond, you know, that's set. You know, they rely on people being fearful. Now, it's the people's responsibility not to be fearful, to be observant, and to take action. And one of the things I told Hoppy was, you know, the Bible says to know to do right and to do it not, to him it is a sin. So
that's right.
Look at what you're doing and look at what you're not doing, because both are equally important.
I think a lot of people have forgotten that.
Well, we have skewed quite a ways, but they didn't do it alone. Lots of programming went on, you know.
Yeah, true.
There's hope, but only probably for a remnant of people. Now, that's my opinion. However, this whole thing was orchestrated to create an environment where they could slide people that actually are using the law called the Constitution to mediate the process through the redress of a grievance process that was nonviolent. Now they're trying to call those people that literally take the path that's been given them for redressing a grievance and call that a terrorist. That's an idiot. That is an idiot that says that.
Guys, you want to hold on through the break? Gene and Phil, do you want to stay on or not?
I'll stay on for a little bit, yeah.
Okay. Hang on to the break. We'll be right back. And we're back. We have Doc Waterman, of course. We have Phil Hudock, and we have Gene Stelnecker. Before we get back into that, guys, real quick, I just received a call from somebody in Michigan, is how I'm going to say it, because I don't know if he wants me to say his name on air. Anyway, he wanted to know if you've received paperwork, Phil, from Steve Gronka that came from Hartford Van Dyke called paper terrorism, paper terrorist, something.
I'll have to check. I just got home. I was on the road for a day.
Okay. All right. Well, let me know tomorrow or the next day if you've gotten it, and then I'll get a hold of him.
Okay, and you called it paper terrorist?
Paper terrorist, I think. Was that right, Bradley? Gosh, I'm so bad. Well, just look and see if you've got anything like that. But it was written by somebody in Washington State, a politician out there somewhere, and supposedly it has precedent with Tom's case. Okay?
All right. Let me give you an example of the degree of insanity that's going on. Part of my complaint was the forced biometric facial identification that the state does with their real ID compliant West Virginia driver's license, okay? And from 2000 to 2008, my pastor, several other people, myself, we petitioned the then governor for accommodation, because we felt we couldn't surrender our identity to a criminal international database, Interpol. And we actually were accommodated by then-Governor Manchin. And when Governor Tomlin, the present governor, came in, the DMV rescinded without even notifying us that policy. In other words, we couldn't get a driver's license anymore. And the DMV just announced that cross-dressers can wear wigs and makeup for their driver's licenses.
Now, that's but we can't power. Smile? But we can't
but
smile.
That's the power of political.
I got to look like I'm really mean all the time in my driver's license.
Well, here's
but
what
they
you
can
do
whatever they want.
Then
and they
you,
can even
you
use my
yourself,
bathroom.
Well, hey, here's how you fight back against it. So you call yourself a cross-dresser, and you put a great big O smile on your face with big lipstick, clear up on your cheeks, and make a smile out of it. And have, you know, like the, what was that guy in Batman fought, you know?
Oh, the Joker. Joker.
The Joker. And then see how far that goes.
Well, I've got a quote from the Joker. I got a quote from the Joker that we need to use, and it's, this town needs an enema.
I love it. It's okay. This whole country needs an enema.
That's right.
They
blast
got,
style.
They put this whole thing together for this very moment. This is the sobering part of it. This was the destination they were headed to all along. I see
yes,
this as the,
yes.
I see this as the core reason states like Texas are saying, I think we need to talk about secession. And they are. They're putting it on the ballot. What's your prospects for our country if we don't fix this?
Right. Do you remember when Texas was going to go against the TSA groping of people? And do you remember what the federal government did?
What did they do, take money away or something?
No, they threatened a no-fly zone over Texas. That's what they did. Yes.
Texas should have said, well, okay, that's fine. We'll just call that's up the Republic of Texas and keep you out, too.
There you go.
That works.
Yeah.
This is absurdity, but we have a reason why they're doing this. Actually, this is a coup. This is all it is. It's the takeover of a lawful system of governing the people we put in there to do work and how they're supposed to behave. And they say, oh, we don't like what you're telling us to do. We don't like that you can tell us what we can't do. So we're just going to come up with something called the UCC and just start all over. That's what they did.
Yes, it's a corporate coup. And what we see happening now, in my estimation, you know, 1933, the economy crashed, and it was that terrible situation that got everyone to accept Roosevelt's War Powers Act and confiscation of gold. Now they're using global warming to consolidate the whole world into a giant corporation.
Let me ask you a question. What's the prospects for our freedom in this country if we don't get this fixed?
It doesn't matter. You have to do what's right.
Zero.
Yeah.
I mean, what is the consequences for doing the right thing in a country if we don't get this fixed? That's probably where I should have had that question. What's going to happen to us?
I'll be quiet.
If we don't get this fixed, it's going to be hell on earth.
Yeah, that's what's going to be. That's exactly what it is now, and it will just get worse.
Yeah.
And it's
can I bring something up?
Yeah.
From when Gene came on a minute ago, and he said he thought it was the spooks with the bird's nest.
Mm.
Okay, now that sounds silly on the outside, but listeners, this is what we go through daily.
Oh, yeah.
Daily, you wonder who's pulling in your driveway. You wonder if that helicopter is going to circle around one more time. You wonder if the crop duster is going to keep going over your house when they don't normally crop dust out here. You wonder if the cop is going to follow you for a mile or 5 miles, 10 or 15 miles.
Now, there's no
you wonder
question
what the clicks are on the phone.
Yeah, yeah.
We get disconnected.
There's no question the helicopters are there. I mean, because they're only like 20 foot over your house.
Well, when they're close enough, they're vibrating your picture window, and they're looking in at you through your front window. You got a problem? Excuse me.
Well, if you got a big screen TV.
We go through this every day.
If you have a big screen TV, they're looking at you through that.
They are.
Oh, yeah.
They are. But this is what you were talking about, Gene. It kind of hit me because Doc and I talked about this. I was like, somebody's coming up my driveway. That sounds stupid to a lot of people that don't know what we do. If we have company here that, like, people that aren't awake, and we're like, who's here? You know, like, oh, my gosh, who's here? They're looking at us like, who cares? You know, I'm like, no, you don't understand. You get your internet messed with. They come in and they steal your mouse from you when you're trying to use it on your computer. They disconnect you.
Yeah.
You can hear the clicks on the phone. They disconnect your phone calls. This is, and I'm sure you guys are up against it too. It's constant. So don't think Gene was a crazy man.
Hey, I got to tell you, one of the techniques, a guy I knew that was, he was an accountant, and he was getting the IRS all over him and his clients. And they had tapped his phone, and he had a special phone that was pre-designed to be kind of like off the hook all the time. And he stuck a radio in. He put this telephone in the drawer, and he stuck a radio in that drawer and turned on country music. He says, they hate country music.
Oh, good.
Well, my question is this. Since they extort so much money from us, why don't they have better equipment? Why do we get echoes and clicks?
I know, right?
Yeah.
The garbling and the tunnel talk, yeah.
Hey, it's because we get, it's a good thing we don't get all the government we pay for. That's all I got to say.
Okay.
That's no kidding.
Well, you know, I do want to say this, though. You know, Doc was saying how, and you were saying how fearful the situation is to where people are fearful. But remember, it's a spiritual battle.
Oh, it is.
Fear is not of the Lord. And we're not supposed to be fearful. If we're strong Christians, fear is not in the equation. You know, I'm not fearful.
You don't. I don't get scared. I get angry.
Yes.
I don't know which is worse because I just get irritated. When they take my mouse and they've done it while I'm on air, I have to mute my mic because I'm going to start screaming.
Aaron, your adrenals don't know the difference, so it's okay.
Thanks, Doc. But you know what? My father does, okay?
He is right. This is at the core, this is a spiritual war. It is very much.
It is.
And as much as sending a letter, if you really maybe you're getting a message, or maybe you're being sensitive, and maybe you're being told you better not write a letter, but hey, you can still pray.
I think we need to surround him with prayers, get the prayer chains going, give him the strength, the spirit and the strength from the Father to hold him up. Because you know what? It's not fun where he's at. He may sound all sarcastic and big on the radio, but you know what? When it comes down to it, he's a man. He's one of us. He didn't enjoy getting his shoulder dislocated, I'm sure.
It's incredible. Let me ask you a question. Are we gonna hear from you? You've lost track of him. Is there any thoughts with you guys about that happening?
That hadn't crossed my mind, but now that you mention it, yeah.
You mean like they might send him to another jail? Is that what you're talking about, Doc?
Completely out of this country.
Well,
it doesn't have to be Gitmo. It doesn't have to be Gitmo.
Legally, I mean, it's not lawful, but it is, they consider it legal to do that, yes.
Sure.
Under NDAA, correct?
See, once it's not just, quote, criminal activity, and it's kind of in this other venue where they say, well, you know, we're under a War Powers Act, and, you know, they don't even know why they're able to do this, which is what that is. They're so stupid they don't even know where the authority came, but that authority is being abused. It should have been done a long time ago. It's being abused. But see, these people don't understand the spirit of the law is needed to be understood by the people. So when they go into a jury, they can say, you did not obey and abide by the spirit of this law, he's not guilty. And watch them go, watch them have a little hissy fit on that one.
Exactly.
But this is a spiritual war. And so there is such a thing as why a law was passed. But they like to twist the one about spitting bubblegum out and saying, well, that also applies to this.
Oh, yeah. That and they make him sound like a crazy man. Okay. Hey, we'll be right back with Phil Hudock and Gene Stelnecker after this. And, of course, Doc. And we're back. We have Phil Hudock and Gene Stelnecker. And we're discussing, it's the plight of America. But it's also Tom. Now, I don't know what can even be done. I just know that people have to try. And there's a few people that do kind of go out of their comfort zone and try to correct this messed up FUBAR system. And, you know, we've had Rod Class. We've had a lot of people in jail over stuff like this. And Thomas is the latest in a long list of people that have, you know, they're paying the piper, so to speak. I don't know if we can do anything, Phil, Gene, Doc, anything. I mean, prayers, letters, what else?
We can keep track of him, make sure we know exactly where he is, and that he's well. That's the most important protection we can give him while he's in there. And we need to ring it loud if we even see any kind of slight indication that they're harming him that we already have. So there needs to be a lot of not just letters to him for support, but we probably ought to be calling and asking why this guy had a dislocated shoulder. At least let people know in that facility that, hey, we're watching.
What do you guys think, Phil and Gene? You know the county better than we do.
Yes, you know, if you go to North Central Regional Jail, Greenwood, West Virginia, do a search, you know, you can find the number of the jail, and they have a code of I don't know whether they call it code of ethics, code of conduct, but it states that they are going to take good care of the people in their charge, and they need to be reminded that, and you know, Doc raised an important question. He said, you know, what's this country and really the world, for that matter, what's it going to turn into? And on the website, on my website, on the homepage, there's a link now. I uploaded a video called Waco, A New Revelation. And it's under, it says, A Case of Government Gone Wrong, and then there's a YouTube clip. I please, everybody, I want you to watch this video. What happened at Waco was just a premonition, but a very bad premonition of what is to happen in this entire country. And it is the most powerful video you will ever see. And about 12 years ago, my pastor and I were both in the West Virginia militia. And both of us left the West Virginia militia because we knew something was wrong, and it was because it was infiltrated by an agent provocateur who my pastor on his radio program called a low-down scum-sucking dog, okay? Because he was a convicted felon, and he was there to try to hurt some good people. So my pastor had a program, and this was when, you know, the militias were demonized, and the number two man in the FBI in Pittsburgh called my pastor and said, you know, could I go on your program and kind of defuse this situation between the government and the people via the militias? And so he had the man on. I can't remember his name. It was something like Limley, and he was number two man. And so my pastor asked him, he said, well, you know what happened at Waco? And the FBI guy said, well, yeah, I pretty much know. And my pastor said, well, if we sent you a video, would you look at it? And I had Waco Rules of Engagement, which was the first documentary. And I sent it to Pittsburgh. And he watched it. And he called my pastor after he watched that and went back on, and he was shaken by what he saw. Now he said, I can't necessarily say I believe everything in that video, but he said that he was rather shocked by what he saw in that video. Now that was the first one. The second one was called Waco: A New Revelation, and it is way more powerful. If you watch this, you're going to be very upset. And that's the reason I put it on the website, because that was a case of government gone wrong, and no one ever paid a price for that. Not Janet Reno. By the way, the number two man in the Justice Department at that time was, what was that guy? He just resigned he's the one that said we need to brainwash our children into thinking differently about guns, okay? And Lon Horiuchi, the man who shot Randy Weaver's wife, he was head of the sniper team at Waco.
Right, he was. He was.
Hey, yeah. Phil, do you guys want to hang through the long break? You can come back for a long segment, or do you want to drop off?
I've got a substitute tomorrow, so I got to get up.
Okay, we'll have you back on next week. Gene and Phil.
Wait a minute.